In this season of Lent, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer as a way to strengthen our prayer lives. But if that sounds like too spiritual of a term, then as a way to draw near to God. And looking at this pattern that Jesus the Son gave us to come to the Father in prayer. And so we're looking this morning at the phrase, "Hallowed be your name." And when we hear that, that word hallowed, it's not common on our tongues anymore. So we need some help. We need to do a little bit of work to know, what did Jesus intend by this phrase, "Hallowed be your name"? And with that, I could also say, I've thought about this a lot, that people often want to know, what is the will of God? They're trying to discern, what is it that God wants me to do? And I have very good news today from Matthew 6 is where we are, Matthew 6, verse 9. And if you want to know the will of God for you, here it is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So again, what does Jesus mean by hallowed? Well, last week we've got to start with the address. He begins, "Our Father in heaven." This is how Jesus taught his disciples, taught his believers to come to the Father. And a couple things that stand out just from that phrase, "Our Father in heaven," is that we come through Jesus because he is our Father. So we come through the Son. We come through belief in the Son is how we access the Father. There's no other way to come to the Father except through the Son. So we come through the Son, and he is our Father. And a father, he is not just a father, he is our Father. And he is the archetype of all fathers, not just better by degree or by addition, but he is our Father who is holy, who is altogether separate. He is good, and he gives good gifts to his children. He gives examples of that. You know, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who ask? So he is our Father who loves us perfectly, and he loves us personally. You know, you can go, if you're buying a gift for a nine-year-old boy, you can go to Amazon and look up best gifts for nine-year-old boys, and it will give you a list of all the recommendations. But that's different than someone who is with a nine-year-old boy, knows his interests, knows his loves, all these things. And we have that kind of a Father. He doesn't know about us generically. He knows you specifically. And he knows how to give good gifts to his children. And he is our Father in heaven, which means that his perspective is perfect. He knows all the things that have happened in your life up to this point and things that you don't even know about. He knows who your great-great-great-grandparents were. And he knows who your great-great-great-grandchildren will be. His perspective is perfect. He is our Father in the heavens. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. He is that, our Father in heaven. And then the first petition, hallowed be your name. And on through the prayer, if we look, this is a pattern of prayer that will transform us. Not just transform our prayer lives, but it'll transform us if we pay attention to what our Lord unpacks for us here. And if you look, the first few petitions are all about the Lord and his glory, his kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So note the order there. And then give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if you've ever struggled in prayer, this is tremendous help for us in the pattern that the Lord lays out. We have a tendency, I won't speak for all of you, I have a tendency when I come to the Lord in prayer to start with myself and my need, the things that are concerning to me, the things that are on my mind. And of course, he is our Father. He cares about the things that concern us. And yet Jesus is saying, when you pray, get into the habit of this type of pattern. Address him as our Father in heaven, and then pray, hallowed be your name. Start with him. Begin with God. Not even the things that are maybe about other people, which is good and right for us to pray for those who we love that don't know the Lord, or other needs that we're aware of. But start first with the Lord. Let him be the orienting point. Because the first three are all about God and his glory. And then we get to our particular needs. So we don't start with ourselves, but our concerns with others. We start with God. And you think, you know, who is it that was teaching this prayer to the disciples? It was our Lord, who knows our frame. He knows that our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knows that our memories are short. And so that's why he's given us a pattern to help us, to help remind us. Because in this prayer, we see these incredibly high and lofty aims of God, that his name would be known in all the earth, and that his will would be done, his kingdom would come. And then it gets to the very particular needs of us, like lunch today, and the things that we need, all these things that concern us. They're here in this same prayer. Because those things, like we need lunch and other things to serve these higher lofty, and the Lord knows that. We've got these grand purposes of the Lord that are laid out for us, and they include you and what you're doing on Tuesday or Thursday night, whatever it is. It's an amazing thing. But this prayer, if we look at it, this is the heart cry of every believer, everyone who knows the Father through the Son. They want the name of God to be known for who he is. I read Martin Lloyd-Jones. I've been so helped by him. But he, in reflecting on this passage and this phrase, "Hallowed be your name," at the beginning of a prayer, he said, "We should achieve more in this moment of recollection than all our prayers put together are likely to achieve without that realization." So before we get to the particular needs, it starts with realizing who it is we're talking to. Our Father, who we know is for us. He is in the heavens. We want his name to be hallowed. And his name, to hallow something means to sanctify, to revere, to make and keep holy. In other words, that it might be, he might be known for who he is. And sometimes when I come to a phrase like "hallowed be your name," I think, okay, is there a way to translate that into more everyday vernacular way that we use? And yet it's good to do the work to figure out, well, what does that mean? Because Paul did a similar thing. Whenever he was teaching the Greek speaking churches, he brought a Hebrew term over, the word amen. And he could have translated that to Greek, but he didn't. He said, let's keep it in Hebrew, because I want the people of God to continue to say, yes, amen, I agree, I say the same. And we today are still using a Hebrew term, amen, because he thought it's important that the church, when they say amen together, they are in agreement. And so for us to hallow the name of Jesus, but hallow the name of the Father, is to revere it, to respect it, to magnify it, a prayer that it might be known, that our God could be known for who he is in the world. And of course, his name is the closest thing that to represent God himself. It's the signifier he has that people might know his character, his person. And just a few of those names in scripture, which are precious. But you know, the Jews, they had such a respect and a reverence for God that when they were writing the name, they would substitute other names. Even the characters written on the page, they regarded as holy. So there was a great respect among them for the name of God. He revealed himself as the self-existent one. He said, I am who I am. Without reference to anyone, I am the self-existent one. I am reality itself. He is Jehovah. I am that I am. I spend a lot of time on each of these. Or he reveals himself as the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh, and the Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our banner, the one that we define ourselves, identify with, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Ran Raha, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sekinu, the Lord is present, Jehovah Shema. In all of these, God is revealing something about himself to us. He is for us. And so then this prayer, hallowed be your name, is really the prayer. Everything else points to it. It's supporting it. This is God's purpose for the universe, that he might be known for who he is. And then this is the reason that we exist as well, that we might know him for who he is. I love in our liturgy, as we approach the Lord's table, we begin by saying, you have made us for yourself. We are made for him. We seek satisfaction in all kinds of other things. And all the while, here we have the self-existent one who gives us food and wine as a symbol to say, you have to live on me. There's no life apart from me. But he is so good that he actually gives himself. He sacrifices himself for us, for our cleansing, for our life. This is the purpose for which we are made, that we might hallow his name, know him for who he is. Not just in a generic term, but in us specifically, as a father cares for his children, he knows us and he meets every need. So in the Lord's Prayer, we see that God has plans for the whole earth, for the universe, for history, and that includes you today, this week, in the particular circumstances that you will be facing that nobody else does. On Monday morning, I was getting ready and I was just getting in the car and I wanted to make sure that I had all the right things. Had a lot of appointments and meetings, some in this place, some in that place. And I was just kind of doing a mental checklist, taking inventory. Have I packed the right clothes? Do I have the folders and papers and other things that I need? And I was anticipating I'm going to be talking to this person. And, you know, that's that kind of a different personality type. It's going to be a challenge. I'm going to need to get mentally ready. All these things in my head. And with that, I started to sort of pray, but just moved immediately into those things. Lord, help with this thing. I'm really not looking forward to this or whatever. And then I thought, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That reset everything in my thinking immediately, because it was, those circumstances are still real, still have concerns, but I was reoriented by this reality, this great reality, that the Lord is in the heavens and he wants to be known for who he is. So in all those circumstances, it changed things, and they're still important, but the amount of real estate they were occupying in my mind has started to reduce, because the amount of real estate that our Lord was taking up in my mind started to expand, and the desire that he be known for who he is. So my mixed motives that were in there of, you know, I want to come across as smart in this. I want to come across as together. I want to make sure I present myself. You know, all those things, those just start to diminish or fall out with this overarching desire that he would be known for who he is. So this pattern of prayer truly is transformative in how we draw near to God, but also how we think about ourselves, how we think about the world, how we order our days, how we think about our schedule and all of our time. Now, it's just one little thing. So imagine if we were regularly using this pattern to reorient our thinking to the ultimate reality, our Father in the heaven who wants his name to be known. He wants to be known for who he is. God has these grand designs. And the others are really about, when we get to our personal petitions, they're about fitting us for those grand designs. Give us this day our daily bread. We need things to survive. forgive us our debts. What could be more glorious than a God who forgives sin? A God who makes a way for us to be cleansed and renewed and changed when we were rebels to his will, when we were seeking to build a life apart from God, that he would come and make a way for us to be restored. That is a glorious God. It shows him for who he is. And then deliver us from evil. He is the God who does this, who gives us his spirit, who equips us with a new nature that we might walk before him. All the way going back to the garden, we see that God had given his people, Adam and Eve, everything they needed, not just to survive, but actually to thrive. And he's made a way through the Son for us to be restored to that kind of right relationship with him. So this prayer, hallowed be your name, is expressing the desire that God himself may be revealed. And the Old Testament, it talks a lot about this phrase. It uses the fear of the Lord. And it's getting at that same idea, that he would be revered. He would be honored, respected, known as holy by men and women throughout the world, that they might know his attributes. So this prayer is praying that the whole world would come to know God in this way and to honor him. It was true of Jesus. In John, he explains that he had come to seek not his own glory, but the glory of him that sent him. So this was Jesus's prayer as well, that the Father's name might be magnified in all the earth. And that phrase magnify, I think, gets at a lot of what we are praying when we ask that God's name might be hallowed. And Psalm 34, a great prayer for hallowing the name of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Young lions spend about all of their waking hours doing nothing but looking for food, and yet they get hungry. So they spend all of their waking hours searching for food, but those who fear the Lord, those who know him for who he is and honor him, revere him, they have no lack. They lack no good thing. All these other concerns that we may look to for our satisfaction, they may or may not be the right thing, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, because the Lord God is a sun, provision, and a shield, a protector. So in our speech, in our lives, we become those who look to him and they are radiant. This is part of the purposes of God for you, that you would be an agent to help other people hallow the name of God, because by you looking to him, it reflects something to the world when you are trusting in him, when you are not seeking your good the way that everybody else is, but you're confident that you have found it in him. It makes people perk up and pay attention and say, where did this person come from? What's different about them? And Peter says that you'd be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. It'll be a distinct difference about the people who say, hallowed be your name, Father. Again, I was helped by Martin Lloyd-Jones here. He said, stop for a moment and just recollect and realize this, that your greatest desire of all should be that this wonderful God, who has become your Father in and through the Son, should be honored, should be worshiped, should be magnified, among the people. And to magnify doesn't mean to make something bigger. It means to recalibrate our view according to what is true. Like a telescope. A telescope doesn't make small things bigger. It helps us see big things more in proportion for what they actually are. So to magnify the Lord doesn't mean that we are making him something that he's not. No, this is who he is. The prayer is that he might be seen for who he is. That our perspective that gets so clouded and distorted because of the things that are right in front of us, we need help by the Spirit to magnify, to see him, see this glorious reality for who he is. On Wednesday night, the boys and I were driving home from Matt Mosher's house after Christ in Kilos. I was a little bit sore. We were doing our workout Bible study with him. And on the way home, the moon was either full or close to full. And so we could have probably driven home without the headlights on. And we didn't. We kept the headlights on. But there was a bluish, grayish hue to everything. You couldn't distinguish colors, but you could see shapes. You could see houses. If there were people, you could have seen people. And as we were driving home, we've got a 20-year-old Honda Pilot, and it just turned over while we were driving 250,000 miles. And I was like, wow, look at this, guys. Isn't this, that's a long time. But I was thinking about the moon. It was reflecting the light from the sun. The moon is about not quite 250,000 miles away. I think it's about 240,000 miles away. But the moon is not a mirror. It's not, you know, shiny, but the moon, 240,000 miles away, which our car, it took it 20 years of driving to get that distance. That's a long way away. And it is reflecting light from the sun, which is 93 million miles away, that is still burning right now. We see it in the sky, but even when we don't, it's still burning. And so the sun seems small. It is a long way away. So to magnify means to put into the right perspective, to give an appreciation of the power, the size. And so for the name of God to be hallowed, magnified, is that it might be in our lives and in all the world, that our perspective is adjusted to this great and glorious reality. He is the Lord. He has revealed himself. He's continuing to make himself known. So maybe tonight when you start planning your week, you're doing your mental checklist of where you need to be, where you need to go, or Monday morning, whenever it is, stop for a moment and just begin with this pattern that our Lord gave us and say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And see how the Lord transforms your thinking through that. Our Father in heaven, you have made us for yourself. And we find no satisfaction apart from you. But those who look to you have no lack. So help us, Father, to hallow your name. We pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.